Welcome in to another episode. We're talking today. We're talking basketball, Raging Cajun basketball with Mike Hebert. And we're going to discuss the non-conference schedule and for the upcoming season. Mike, it's good to see you. We got, I think this is kind of timing appropriate with basketball practice starting tomorrow. So good timing for us, I would say.
Yes, basketball practice has started. I think it started yesterday, in fact, or if not yesterday, it'll be today. And the schedule was released, what, middle of last week? So it is good timing.
Well, good. Looking forward to it as always. Coach Marlin and the guys going to be defending their championship. So let's jump right in. Let's start out with that first exhibition game. What's your thoughts? I hate to say quickly, but I know you had some thoughts on why it's important. So,
yeah, in the past, we've played two secret scrimmages, for lack of a better word, prior to the season beginning. And we usually begin the season with a non-D1 game at home, sort of as a warm-up. This particular year, you know, we have a pretty tough opponent for the first game. So we're going to probably play an exhibition game to be similar to what we've done in the past, where it's a warm-up game for the tougher opponents. That's on October the 30th. I would think we still play one of the secret scrimmages. You said you could either play two secret scrimmages, two exhibition games, or one and one. And I can't imagine we would pass up the opportunity to play one of the secret scrimmages this year. Sometimes, I get when who it's going to be and who it's going to be against and when. I don't have that this year, but probably late October, maybe a week or so before the exhibition game on October the 30th. And by the way, those are usually free. So I don't know if it is this year. It's not part of your season ticket package. You can just walk on in. That's on a Monday before Halloween.
Okay. Yes, it usually, they may do that now because I know in the past it was kind of one of those things that both, yes, exhibition game, free, but at the same time, I don't think they had our season tickets printed, so there may be something there that since they're no longer printing season tickets that it may not be free, but I hope it's still free. That way, maybe some people will come out and get to see the team play and look forward to the season coming up. So,
yeah, right. I'm going to go off script here. That reminds me of something. See the team play. In the past, you know, we've always had a Raging Cajun tip-off luncheon for the RCF boosters at a certain level, usually at one of the nice restaurants in town, City Club or whatever. They have it for all the other sports as well. Well, this year they're going to have it on Wednesday. I think it's like whatever the Wednesday before Halloween is. I think it's the 27th at the Student Union instead of the restaurant. And the reason they're going to do that is because right after that function ends, you know, where the players and coaches are introduced and Coach Marlin gives a preview of the season, the team is actually going to go out onto an outdoor court that they're going to bring onto somewhere in the quadrangular area, I guess, somewhere around the Student Union. And they'll have maybe midnight madness type activities, although it won't be midnight. It'll probably be 8:30. And I'm sure on a outdoor venue like that, they're not going to really have a scrimmage. They'll probably have three-point contests and you know, maybe dunking contests and other drills type of things. So look forward to that. And, you know, even if you don't qualify for the tip-off dinner at certain RCF level, which most people don't, I think everybody's going to be invited to the little demonstration. And they're doing a Student Union for the students. That's October 27th.
Okay. All right.
So I just thought of that, even though, you know, we hadn't discussed it earlier. But no, we can go on to the real meat of the schedule now, if you like.
Yeah, Youngstown State, part of the Horizon League there. Very interesting team in way, and many people might not know about them. Kind of in between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. So what's your thoughts there? 24-10 last season.
Yeah, and they only have one starter coming back, but they have seven transfers, including somebody who looks like he may be able to contribute, a guy named DJ Burns from Murray, who was an inside player with 8-7 last year. And their guard they got coming back named Rush was one of their top players that averaged 14 points a game. So they're going to be heavily transfer dependent. I remember reading something where they're saying, look out for Youngstown State. Among the mid-majors, they'll be one of the best at being able to deal with the transfer portal and NIL. So I don't know what they got going on there, but I suspect there'll be some pretty good players. This is a bye game. You know, we were actually paying them to come here. In order to get the 14 games on the schedule, we had to do that. And we'll do that against one of the other opponents as well that we're going to talk about coming in December. Because most of our home and home games, you know, we play a team here and there. Most of all those games are on the road this year, so we had to buy a couple of games to round out the schedule. So playing a conference champion to start the season, because, you know, they didn't make the NCAA tournament, they made the NIT. They won their league last year during the regular season with a 24-10 record. I think it was 15-3 or something like that in conference. And they played Oklahoma State in the NIT and played them to a 5-point game. So they have had success. I think they're the Penguins, aren't they?
I don't remember that. I believe that's one of the teams that might have changed their mascot within the last 20, 25 years or so.
Yeah, I know they've had success in the used to be 1AA, now FCS football category. So they've had success in football in the past that I recall. But, you know, good opening the game, opening the season at home against a defending conference champion. I would hope we see a little bit of a promotion prior to that game. That's Monday, November 6th, by the way. Season seems to start earlier and earlier every year. This NCAA is going to this, okay, well, the first Friday, second Friday in November started with a guide, and they go to the Monday before that. And the reason they do that is the election day. Seasons used to start on Tuesday. You know, every other year is a national election day, but some states, unlike Louisiana, have their state elections on that Tuesday. So you'll probably be seeing early November around election day start going forward here pretty regularly now.
Okay. Very interesting. So Youngstown State is on the east side of Ohio. And then the Cajuns will travel 5 days later up to Toledo, Ohio, to take on, I was about to call them the Mud Hens, which I know that is either the minor league baseball team or the former minor league baseball team, or just the minor league baseball team that was on MASH. I don't remember if they're still around even, but that's on the west side, northwest part of the state. So what do you know about Toledo?
They're the Rockets, by the way.
Okay.
Toledo Rockets.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. They were 27-8 last year. They have three starters coming back. It's a MAC challenge game, you know, where the Sun Belt's going to play every team in the Sun Belt, except two, I believe, are going to play two teams from the MAC, one home, one away. This is our away game. They were also a regular season champion last year. They were the MAC champions, and they lost to Michigan in NIT. They have three guys coming back. They're all guards, and they have a good transfer from William and Mary, who averaged 11 points a game over there, 27-8 last year. What impresses me about this is, look, we're starting the season with two defending conference champions. Now, how good they're going to be this year, I don't know. But usually when you have that kind of success, the culture turns over and they continue to have decent teams. So pretty rough start to the season, in my view. We don't have any big payday games, so to speak, but we have a lot of tough games against some pretty reputable mid-majors this season.
Absolutely. Cajuns will return home Wednesday, November 15th, to take on Louisiana Christian, non-D1 team.
I don't know much about them. They used to be called Louisiana College, the Wildcats. I presume they're still the Wildcats, you know, in Pineville. I think we played them last year. They lost in the finals of their conference tournament last year. They also have some transfers they're bringing in. I sort of wish this game would have been the November 6th game as a warm-up game. And maybe playing Youngstown here, you know, it would have been nice to have a warm-up game before we went to play Toledo. But it is what it is. You know, you have to match dates, and sometimes it's more difficult than you can imagine. And dates, in fact, was one of the reasons the schedule got released late, and I'll explain more of that later. So this is a game that, you know, we just want to keep in the, I guess, in shape before we go to the tournament in Florida.
Well, now that you bring that up, we start out the following Monday, the Monday of Thanksgiving. We head to Florida to take on Wright State.
Yes, it's the Gulf Coast Showcase, the first round game against Wright State. Last year, they were 18-15. They had three starters returning, including the top scorer in their league and a guard named Trey Calvin. And they also returned their center and a guy named A.C. Brown. And they also played Youngstown State last year. You know, we talked about Youngstown being the champion. They played a Youngstown to three overtime game at one point. So not necessarily an easy opponent to start. That game's going to be at 4 p.m. We'll play three straight games in Florida. It's in Estero, Florida, which is near, it's not in Fort Myers, it's near Fort Myers. I think there's a Fort Myers tournament going on at the same time. There's so many of these holiday tournaments going on, but you know, you play these neutral court tournaments, you get three extra games. So instead of playing 29 regular season games, you can play 31 when you get into the, what's called MTE, which is a multi-team event.
Yeah, that allows the team, one game counts. You can play three, up to three games, I believe, and it only counts as one game.
Right. You know, you're allowed 29 games. And if you play three games in the MTEs, you could play the 31. Last year, we played in one of these in, was it Asheville? And we only played two there, so we only played 30 total instead of 31. Okay.
Well, so the game on Tuesday, though, will be either against Hofstra or Buffalo. We won't know which until that game is till they play. And depending on whether the Cajuns win and what other team wins, or the Cajuns lose and the other team loses. So, but what do you know quickly about those two teams? Anything? Well,
yeah, I know Hofstra was 25-10 last year, and they won the Colonial League regular season. So there's another opportunity to play against a defending conference champion. Buffalo was 15-17. It's the same Buffalo we just played in football. So you would think, based on last year's record, Hofstra would win. They played two games in NIT last year, and they're located on Long Island. That's really all I know about Hofstra and Buffalo. But like you said earlier, we don't know what time the game will be. It'll depend if we win or lose against Wright State on Monday. I presume if you win, you play later.
There's a lot of good basketball in that New York area, with them being on Long Island, with Brooklyn, St. John's, just lots of teams there, and lots of guys to choose from there in the city. So a very competitive team. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I presume we'll play, assuming we're successful. There's no guarantee we'll be successful against Rice State. Later on, we'll do a little pod on projecting our own team and the players and things like that right before the season starts. But that's not for today. And we will play also on Wednesday, November 22nd. Even if we win one, lose one, win both, or lose both, you know, you're guaranteed three games in this tournament. And we already talked about Wright State, Hofstra, and Buffalo. The other teams on the other side of the bracket are Iona, High Point, Long Beach, and Illinois State. And I really didn't research any of those because, you know, who knows which one we're going to play, if any of them.
Exactly. Very interesting. A team from California heading to Florida, though. So it was Long Beach State. Was that where Tarkanian came from before he went to UNLV, or was that?
That is correct. Actually, it's the first game I ever watched in Black and Coliseum. It was Baltimore leading the Cajuns to a 90-83 victory over Long Beach State. And Ed Radliff was their star player. And that game actually put the USL Bulldogs down on the map. It appeared on Sports Illustrated cover not long after that. Yeah, that's where Long Beach is from. But of all those schools now, I guess Iona is the one I think of the most recently is having the basketball reputation. I remember they had a center named Jeff Rulin who played in the NBA for a while several years back.
Is Iona, is that where Rick Pitino is at now? Or is that somewhere else?
I do not know the answer to that question.
Okay, well, as we're going along, I'll try to look it up without delaying us any. But the Cajuns come back home after Thanksgiving Monday in Lafayette and taking on the Loyola Wolfpack.
Yes, I know I've talked to some of our coaches, and they said that if we're going to play a non-D1 game right when you come back from the holidays, and you've been traveling a lot, and you have Thanksgiving, maybe that's the time to play it. It's right after the Thanksgiving holiday, get you ready for the rest of the pre-conference schedule. Loyola, of course, is the team that won the NAA and IA National Championship 2 years ago. Several of their players on that team actually transferred to Division I schools. They had another successful season last year in which they won their conference and advanced in the tournament. I looked at their roster a little bit. They've got quite a few New Orleans players, as you can imagine. They've also got some LSU and Tulane transfers, not the top guys in the roster, but some of the guys who were on those squads. And they actually have a guy from St. Thomas More on their team, a guy named Sawa, I believe. So. But the thing about Loyola is, I've talked to our coaches, is they're always going to make you play your game. You're going to have to prepare for them. You can't throw out the ball because they're so well coached. They had a new coach last year, but he kept the tradition going. So if you're going to play a local NAIA team, Loyola is as good as any. Make you prepare, get ready for the bulk of the remaining non-conference schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a couple player a couple years ago, I don't remember his name, but very talented guard. And the differences between what they were doing and we were doing was simply the height that we had on the floor versus them, but always a very talented and fundamentally sound team.
Yes, the fundamentals, they handle the ball well, they dribble well, they make the right pass. They were 24-7 last year.
And Iona was where Rick Pitino is from. He is no longer there, and I did not look to see where he was coaching now. But just
He may have
FYI for
retired by
those,
now. Who knows?
I doubt it. He probably got a job at a bigger school. He kind of got, although you might be right. Could be. Well, that's true. I don't know. I'll have to look that up in a little bit too. All right, then the Cajuns hurt, head to Birmingham on that Thursday, November 30th.
Yes, we play Samford, the 21-11 team last year. They were 15-3 in the Southern Conference last year. I think that was second in the league. I know when we played them here in Lafayette, we won by 17, but the game was close until we pulled away in the last 5 minutes. And our coaches were very happy with that win. They talked about how it was a tough, another mid-major team that we beat, and it helped us prepare for conference play. That's in Birmingham, so it's the second game of a home and home. They came here last year, so we have to go there this year. They've got a couple of transfers from Auburn and a 7-footer from Baylor. They've got their main returnee is a guy named Marshall, who averaged 8 points and 8 rebounds. They do have two starters back, so with two starters and a couple of transfers in, who knows what type of team they'll have. A team throughout all of this thing, as I was researching the schedule, is how many transfers there are everywhere. Seems like
Yeah.
everybody's getting some. We have some transfers too, but they're both basically the two main guys we brought in are junior college guys, not coming in from other schools, more traditional.
Yeah, Rick Pitino is now at St. John's University,
Oh,
so
wow. That's a
right there
big
in New
step
York.
up. Big step up.
Yes.
Big East student
So
too. Probably had success at Iona to go up to St. John.
yeah, he did have success at Iona, and I don't remember what they did exactly last year, but Chris Mullins, you might remember, that played at St. John's, was the head coach there for a while as well. So,
Yeah, Chris Mullin played with the Golden State Warriors back in the 80s. He was known as
yep.
one of the top shooters in the NBA, but just because you can play doesn't mean you can coach. It's two different worlds.
Absolutely. So I'm assuming as we move on through the schedule, I'm assuming the big break in the schedule from November 30th to September, not December 9th, is because of exams, and the Cajuns head up to Ruston to take on Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, that's correct. It's good. That's finals week. Oftentimes, if you got any guys that are ineligible, that's the time they can start playing. I don't think we have anything like that this year. Tech was 15-18 last year. They were up and down the whole season. I thought they'd do better. We played them in the dome, but sometimes, when you lose a tough game, it can really affect you next few games. I think that's what happened to the Bulldogs. They were so disappointed when we beat them here in the dome last year after they had a big lead. But their two best inside players returning, Isaiah Crawford and Draven Mingwin. And they have three other guys with experience who were basically backup guards who are returning. So they'll have five guys with experience ready for them. Now, we've won at Tech in December of 13 and December of 17. And those were teams that won conference championships in 14 and 18, respectively. So we had some good teams that have won up there. I don't recall us winning up there since we restarted the series. And I think they won once here, maybe twice. So it's pretty close. It's always a good game. Oftentimes, when we play up there, it's an afternoon game. Sometimes it'll get picked up by TV. I don't know if ESPN Plus will have this one since Conference USA is not in the ESPN bracket. But that's a Saturday game, so usually there's a few. Some of the diehard fans will make that trip, especially if it's in the afternoon.
Absolutely, absolutely. 4 days later, Wednesday, December 13th, the Cajuns head back to Lafayette, taking on a very good Eastern, or last season was a very good Eastern Kentucky team.
Yes, that's our only December home game. I sort of wish the schedule were a little different, where maybe that MAC game we have in February would be in December to get another good prep game for the conference, and maybe more than one game in December. But be that as it may, it is what it is. Last year, Eastern Kentucky was 23-14. They played four games in the CBI, the College Basketball Invitational, one of those tournaments for the non-major schools. And the reason they played four games is they got to the finals and they lost to Charlotte in the finals. We're buying this game too. Remember, we're buying the game against Youngstown. This is the second game we're buying. And I don't know how much we're paying these teams. I imagine 60,000-70,000. But last year they lost in the semifinals of the American Stunt Tournament. But they had three starters coming back and four other guys with experience. So they have seven guys who played extensively last season. So this is going to be in my view, might be our toughest home non-conference game, just because they had a team with some success and they have a lot of experience returning. So that's on a Wednesday also, by the way, middle of the week, Wednesday, December 13th.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised this game and the Youngstown State game to start the season. I think are going to be very two competitive games at home that I encourage Cajun fans to get out and watch.
I agree. And then we end the pre-conference schedule before conference play starts with a couple of road trips, one to Lake Charles, one to Houston. A strange date when we play McNeese is on Sunday, December 17th. And I remember it might have been you was talking to. So that's probably because the Saturday, December 16th, is a lot of minor bowls are played around that time. So maybe we asked to play on the Sunday. I don't know. But
we'll wait. I meant to look that up because in the past we've had to switch our game at UNO or with UNO to move it up early enough so where it didn't affect with the timing of the New Orleans Bowl. So I think this might have been one of those situations that we just decided to avoid that date altogether.
Well, even if we don't go to, I don't even know the date of the New Orleans Bowl, but even if we go play in Orlando, you know, in the at Health Cure Bowl, whatever it is, I'm sure the university would rather be allocating their athletic resources, you know, to the football game. So maybe get back in time for the basketball game Sunday. I have no idea what time that game's going to be. I know it may not matter, but, you know, I know in South Louisiana it does. Well, the Saints play the Giants at 12 that day, so I would bet the McNeese game, basketball game, might be later in the afternoon or maybe even at night. Will Wade, of course, is the story. You know, he's suspended for 10 games due to his issues at LSU and sitting out last year. But I looked at their schedule, and they have a lot of non-D1 games, but they are excited to play us and Southern Miss both at home in December, and they've set up their schedule where he's going to be coaching. I've asked our coaches, what do you think about that? They said that makes absolutely no difference to them whatsoever if he's there or not. His top assistant coach is the guy who was with him at LSU, so probably wouldn't see much difference as far as on-court strategy goes. As far as their team goes, they have two starters coming back. Both of them, it looked like they were going to portal out, but both decided to stay. One is Christian Shoemake. And he was a guy who gave us hell on the boards last year. Jordan Brown was the only one of our guys who could watch him. So we'll see how that works this year. You know, I know we brought in some size in one of our JC guys. And the other guy was Trey English, outstanding three-point shooter. So their two best players from last year returned. I found this very interesting, Craig. If you look at their roster, on their website, there's only six players. Those two and four other guys. And everything we heard about McNeese all summer long when they made their change was some very high-level P5 transfer guys were coming in. And why they're not on the roster, I don't know. Maybe they'll sit down the first semester for grade or something like that and be eligible by the time the season starts. But there's no way they could play the season with six players.
Absolutely. Interesting, the New Orleans Bowl is December 16th at 2:15 p.m. So if for some reason the Cajuns are in the New Orleans Bowl, fans would be able to get back after the game and hopefully catch that game in Lake Charles.
Thank you for that, because you know, seems like the way the Sun Belt Conference has been going the last few years and the way the New Orleans Bowl works, we're there like every other year. You know, we've got three wins now, need to get at least three more to get bowl eligible. Wouldn't surprise me if we're there again this year.
Absolutely.
That's a good time for the game, you know, where it's not like it was a couple of years ago at 8:30. Bus trip back and forth could be easy for the fans who don't want to stay in New Orleans. If you do, you got the night, so it's a great time. But we digress. But I think you're right. That's probably why the McNeese game is on Sunday.
So our final game is Friday, December 22nd. Our final non-conference game, which I like it being Friday versus Saturday. I know some people aren't going to like it because they'd like to make that trip to Houston. But I like it for the fact that it allows our guys that are from out of town a little bit more time to spend with their family both during the Christmas holidays. I think that's the hardest thing probably about a student athlete that plays you got to remember, basketball is really the only sport, at least for a mid-major, that goes from one semester to the next. Everything else is going to be either fall or spring. So
that's correct. And the other thing too, Houston being a major city and two huge airports, you know, players can get on the planes and get home wherever they live fairly easily. People have asked me, well, why did this take so long to get the schedule out? Well, you know, those of us who have a little insight at times know this game was supposed to be on Wednesday, December 20th. And then at the last second, it got moved to Friday, December 22nd. That's probably why the delay in getting the whole schedule out. It's not necessarily opponents. We were trying actually to get a P5 school to pay us to go back.
And that's what I was going to say. There was, if I remember correctly, some of the people I spoke to, was that date was they were leaving open for a P5 school where they where the Cajuns would have traveled again. But I'm sure the coaches don't want to go from Sunday or that Tuesday or Wednesday to December 30th before playing again. Sorry, I interrupted you, Mike.
But you're correct. That's actually a good point, because that way we're actually going to have Christmas off, but you won't have a long break. You'll have like 5, 6 days. I think December 30th or something like that is the first conference game. Rice, by the way, is a home and home. So they'll be coming to the Cajun Dome the following season. In addition, they have three starters coming back, and they also have four other guys with experience. Their top guard returning is a guy named Evie, who averaged 16-2. And their top forward is another guy named Evie, who averaged 8-6. So they have four guys coming off the bench that played a lot last year. So like Eastern Kentucky, they'll have seven players with significant experience. So it'll be a tough game for a team that had a winning record last year is 19-16.
I think this schedule, I know I've heard some grumbling from some fans, but I actually like this schedule. It gives with losing Jordan Brown, with losing Greg Williams, with losing the guys that we lost a lot of experience. This is going to be a good non-conference schedule that is going to let these guys compete and get ready for conference play, which is your goal, is to win the conference and go to the NCAA tournament.
Of course, Ben, and I'll reiterate, I've said several times, look how many of these teams won conference championships last year. Youngstown, Toledo, if we play Hofstra, you know, Samford was close to it. Eastern Kentucky was close to it. So it's very strong mid-major competition, schools that are very similar to us. So, yes, it'll do a good job in preparing us for conference play. I wish we had a money game in there simply for the revenue. But on the other hand, getting Rice to come to Lafayette the year after is a win. We have a lot of road games here in our non-conference schedule. Like I said, only two D1 games. But that's because so many of our games are we're either returning trips, teams who played here, or are they going to be coming here later? Louisiana Tech, you know, I see no reason why that series is not going to continue. They should come here next year. Rice should come here next year. It's unknown if Will Wade will be willing to bring a McNeese team to Lafayette. Some say yes, some say no. Either way, the series is ending. I wouldn't surprise him if he says, okay, we'll continue, but you come here first. I don't know if we'd agree to that or not. We may. I know our coaches say they like having a road game in our way. But Samford seems to have been a good home and home. We may get them to come back to Lafayette if we keep that going. UNL has decided not to play us anymore for now. Who knows if that'll change. So that's one of the other reasons took a while to get the schedule out. We were trying to the last second to get them to play. We just couldn't do it. You know, it would have been their turn to come here.
That's unfortunate. Lots of easy travel back and forth to New Orleans, and I know lots of family for both sides in between Lafayette and New Orleans. So unfortunate.
Yeah, well, that's for now. Who knows what'll happen now in the future? I know their coaches said, you know, they've never beaten us. You know, generally we win, not handily, but you know, we win a competitive game that we pull away at the end in Lafayette, and the games in New Orleans always go right down to the wire. But I heard their coach says losing to us is not good for his recruiting, which doesn't make any sense to me at all, because most coaches will tell you who wins or loses one significant game. It's a one-day story, and it doesn't have nearly as much impact in recruiting as the layman thinks.
Exactly.
He has a different view.
He has a different view, or is making a different excuse than what's really going on with his program. So
we do have problem. One. I'll go over. We don't know who it's going to be. We do have one more non-conference game. It's going to be the second of the MAC Challenge. That's going to be on Sunday, February 11th, which is Super Bowl Sunday. And why is it on a Sunday? Because, well, the day before is the Saturday of Mardi Gras weekend, which the Dome's always used. I don't really mind playing on Super Bowl Sunday because, you know, probably the game's not till 5:30, almost 6. We play at 1 or so. We can get game in and still make some Super Bowl parties and not conflict with Mardi Gras. I wish we were playing that MAC Challenge game, I tell you, in mid-December at home so we could figure out. I think it would help us prepare for cross play more. We really don't know who that opponent's going to be. That won't be decided until mid to late January, and it'll depend upon how teams and board leagues are doing before the selection is made. You know, especially bad for the MAC team coming here. They don't know what, you know. All we've done is reserve spot in the hotels. Okay, we're going to play this date, reserve so many rooms for that team.
That's what I was going to say. At least we're not the ones having to spend the extra money, not having to fly somewhere on short notice. So, but yes, I would agree with you. That, to me, that would have been a better place for us to play, but it is what it is at this point. So,
yeah. But we have 6 straight home games at one point in February there. So, and you know, that's a lot for fans to go out, you know, going to the game every a couple of days, it seems like.
Yep. Right. Any final thoughts, Mike? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, but that was my final thoughts. Probably in about 3 to 4 weeks, or maybe 3 weeks, you'll have the Sun Belt Conference Media Days with the predictions for all the teams in the league and who'll be the coach, who'll be the number one team, who'll be the players of the year, and all that, and all preseason all conference teams. So that's why I didn't really want to go over all that today, because I really don't know as much about that as we could in most years, because there's so many people transferring all the time. So that Sun Belt Conference Media Days will help us figure that out. We'll start the conference season on, when is that? On Saturday, December 30th at Marshall. So it'll be 8 days after the game at Rice.
Well, again,
if you game last year, if you recall, that was the game that came here for the chicken. And so I'm sure, and we had a great night that night, and I'm sure they'll be ready to get back at us.
Absolutely. All right, Mike, I appreciate your time as always. Very informative. Thank you for all your research and everything, because I, you know, just hearing the team's names, some people are going to recognize them, some people aren't. But at the same time, if you look at the research you did and the number of conference champions or guys that got to the final of their conference tournament, and we know no matter who it is in Ruston, that's always going to be a tough game. And we know going to Lake Charles with a Will Wade team, that's going to be a tough game as well. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm looking forward to it. And I will say one more thing. You had a great podcast last week about the NIL. Just remind people that NIL basketball function is going to be on Thursday, October the 12th. And where's the name? What was the hotel it's going to be at again?
It is the Doubletree.
Doubletree, yes. Okay, which is on Pinhook, right?
Yes, that is the old Hilton.
So, yeah. And
right there at the bridge.
Your guest did a great job outlining how the NIL is going to work. And I saw some yesterday that made me think of that. I saw something on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, by Kobe Julian saying, if you go to the, what's the restaurant on by the Grand 16 there?
Drago's.
Drago's, yeah. If you go there on Fridays between 3 to 6 p.m., the 40% of the revenue gain will go to the Cajun basketball players. So, good to see that type of business going. And I know your guest, John, was really pushing that type of thing. And I have firm belief that the event on October 12th is going to be successful. It'll be one to get us started in the NIL journey, and other good ones will be coming up after that.
Absolutely. John Aiken is running our collective for us, Crew Along. If you have not checked it out, crewalong.com. Is the website, and you can follow Crew Along on Twitter as well. So again, Mike, thank you. And we'll talk again as the season gets closer, and we'll start previewing some games here soon.
Yeah.
It'll be basketball before we know it.
We can preview what our team's going to look like. You know, I remember last year, yep, people really enjoyed saying, here's who I expect to be the starters and who I expect to be the backups. You know, it's going to be much more difficult to predict this year since we lost 4 big guys, but you know, there's some Rebounders Club members who occasionally will get to go to practice. Occasionally I'm one of them, but of course you have to be very careful. You're only allowed to say certain things, what you see there, but you can make some assumptions and help, you know, make some predictions in general.
And I absolutely,
maybe come before the end of October there, I'll get into one of those and can give people my view, and my view may not be what the coach's view is, of course.
Yes. Thanks again. For Mike Hebert, I'm Craig Melanso. You've been listening and we're talking. We've been talking basketball, Raging Cajun basketball, and their non-conference schedule.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.